Scripture reading comes from Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. That's Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And I am reading from the New American Standard. And it reads, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all his people, may his God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God who is in Jerusalem."
Would like to say congratulations to Dale and Susanna. Susanna said that she would take any and all anniversary cards, but she will also accept sympathy cards. So we love you, Dale. That's because it's commanded. You know, I ran across something this week as I was getting things prepared that reminds me that what we are doing here at Services is really good for us and very vital for our lives. The article talked about how to stay safe in the world today. First, it said avoid riding in automobiles, for they are responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. It said do not stay at home. 17% of all fatal accidents occur at home. It said avoid walking the streets and sidewalks, because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Avoid traveling by air, rail, or boat, because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. Of the remaining 33%, 32% of all deaths occur in hospitals, so avoid hospitals. But you'll be pleased to learn that 0.1% of all deaths occur in worship services. So logic tells us that the safest place for us to be at any given point in time is here at church. So what are we doing? What we are doing here today is vitally important for each of us, but not for the reasons that I have listed. Great things happen when God's people come together. We've all been through a lot these last 11 months, social unrest, a pandemic, the political climate in our country. But because of the risks involved, we elected this past month not to hold services. But can you imagine having to wait 70 years to gather together as God's children? Can you envision the joy that came the children of Israel when they received this command from the king to go home to rebuild? Now, how they got there was very different than how we got to where we are. But the effects are very similar. Not being able to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship. You know, there was about 50,000 that returned with Ezra, and another group had came with Nehemiah. But by God's grace, they were finally able to get back together again, and so are we. We did have one up on them. We did not have to rebuild the building. But there's still a spiritual rebuilding that has to be done. And we need to face some facts. There are people in our country who would rather see us stay home for good. They would rather us to disband and not gather together. And that was also evident at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. There were people that did not want to see them gathered together. During these last 11 months, churches were closed and forced to stay closed. Some were restricted to curbside services. And while they were able to worship that way, there was no Christian socializing, which is vital, vital for our spiritual well-being. Since the holidays, we've had many of our members who have been sick, who have been hospitalized, and who have lost loved ones. And it hurts when we are not able to be able to wrap arms around them and comfort them, that we have to do so over a telephone or texting or however we do these things. It was a time of negative emotions. In Nehemiah and Ezra, there were times of negative emotions. The word wept occurs twice in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 12 and chapter 10 and verse 1. It also occurs once in Nehemiah 1 and verse 4. The word sad occurs four times in the first three verses of Nehemiah 4. And anger is mentioned three times in Nehemiah 4 verses 1 and 7 and chapter 5 and verse 6. You can imagine the people. That constant building of trying to rebuild, trying to fend off the attacks of the people around them, the stress, the negative emotions. And these things are something that most of us have experienced. But here we have Ezra and Nehemiah gathering these people together, because that's where the strength is. In Ezra chapter 3, it tells us that in the second year of their return, they began to build the foundation of the temple. But when it was complete, I want you to listen to what happened. Ezra chapter 3 in verses 10 and 11. And the Bible reads, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Aaron, with cymbals, to praise the Lord according to the directions of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout. They praised the Lord because the foundation of the Lord, the house of the Lord, was laid." What a great day for these people to see this much coming. Now, we need to understand a little bit about how important this foundation was, because it's not like what they do today. The foundations of the temple were actually dug very deep. Now, they didn't put some rebar in and pour concrete. They carved out huge stones and laid them in there. And the stones fitted together so tightly that you couldn't slide a piece of paper through it. A lot of work went into this foundation. But without a sure foundation, the temple would never withstand. It was a great day because they were finally able to see the old coming back to the present. What was at one time extremely important to them, the day just got so much brighter. And isn't that what we long for? We want to be able to go back to the way it was. I don't know when we'll get there, but it will come. We just must be patient and endure. You know, this joy and happiness that they were experiencing at this moment would be short-lived. There were some very unhappy people who would work very hard to thwart this venture. It kind of reminds me of last May. It was a great month for our congregation. It was the first time in 6 weeks we were able to gather together to worship. In the weeks to come, we started to return to normal. We started up our Bible classes, our Wednesday night Bible studies. And then we had the wind knocked out of our sails because of what was happening, primarily in our own county. That's what concerned us the most. You see, it's not just man that can discomfit us. Nature can do the very same thing to us. In Jerusalem during this time, there was also a regime change in Babylon. These people who would like to see Israel fail and go away knew this. This new king that was now ruling, they took advantage of the situation. They petitioned the king to have him go back and stop the work. And they told him to go back and read the old scrolls and stuff. And he went way back. And he found out what Israel had done to reap this disaster upon them. And so he ordered the work to stop. Friends, what does the world think about us? Think about that. I'm talking about in our own nation, the world in general. What does it think about us? Now, we have to understand that as believers in Christ, we are an extreme minority in this country and in the world. What they think about us is not good. We might say, well, they just hate us. They hate for what we stand for. And we come back and ask, what have I done to cause you to hate so much? Then I go back to John chapter 15. Because in essence, in verses 18 and 19, Jesus is kind of telling his disciples, don't take this personal. Or he says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love you as its own. Because you are not of the world. But I chose you out of the world, thus, therefore, the world hates you. See, that's why we're not liked so very much. We know what light does. If you have a roach problem in your house and you go out at night, you want to get rid of them, turn on the light. They don't like the light. Evil does not like the light. You know, when some face these kind of issues and problems in the world, when they are persecuted, they sometimes give up. Because nobody wants to be hated. We all want to be loved or at least liked. The children of Israel, the Bible tells us, was stopped by force and by power. You imagine what that must have been like, working that hard to rebuild and then forced to stop. There are a lot of folks in our nation who would love to see the First Amendment gone. Not only the freedom of speech, but also our freedom of worship and our free exercise. No, but the thing is, it only worked for a little while. Two men, gave the children the shot in the arm that they needed to overcome. In Ezra chapter 5, in the first two verses, said, now the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem. And in the name of the God of Israel who was over them, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshus, the son of Jozadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God that is in Jerusalem, and the prophecy of God were with them, supporting them. Friends, two men, were able to get this work kick-started again. They knew that God was with them. And when God is with you, you cannot fail. These people needed to be re-energized. They needed to be reminded of where their strength comes from. We seem to forget that sometimes, our own selves, of where our strength comes from. You know, in the movie, The Karate Kid, and I liked the first one. The others were okay, but nothing beats the first one. And it was during the championship game, the very, very last 15 minutes of the movie. And Daniel was getting beaten pretty bad. His knee was already hurting, his leg. His back was hurting, his ribs were hurting. He had the wind knocked out of him. He got punched in the face a couple of times. And he was on the mat. And he didn't want to get up. His opponent and members of the other team were taunting him, calling him all kinds of vile things. He lost confidence in himself, and he wanted to quit. Then Mr. Miyagi, he comes out and gets down on the mat. And he encourages Daniel to get up. He reminded him that he was not powerless. He told Daniel to remember his training. If you've seen the movie, you know how it ends. Second Corinthians chapter 4, and verses 16 through 18, it reads, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away. Yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What was the focus of Israel? It was completing the temple and the city walls. What should our focus be? Staying strong in the Lord. Encourage others to do the same. You know, there are some who are not with us this morning, and for them to be here probably be very unsafe for them to do so. But they are still here with us. They reside in our hearts. And we need to let them know that they are where? In our hearts always. I'm sure that some of them are very, very discouraged at not being able to come out. We need to lift them up in our prayers. We need to let them know they're in our hearts. You know, we can change our worship times in hopes that more would attend the services, all the services. But changing times is not really an answer. Encouragement is the answer. If we stand together regardless of the trials that we face as a congregation or as individuals, we will continue to stand. Because of two men, Ezra and Nehemiah, the temple was rebuilt and so was Jerusalem. But they didn't do it by themselves. But they put in place all that was needed to accomplish the work of the Lord. And the same holds true with the church. With God's word, we have all the tools needed to build this church into a strong spiritual dwelling place that provides security and safety for our souls. We need to accomplish this work together. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 through 12, he said, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone, and when he falls, has not one to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Standing together. Not only while we are gathered together, but each and every day of our lives. And we need to stand together as we strive to return to some sort of normalcy. There is a bright future for us, just as bright as the day is today, if we keep focused on one thing, our God in heaven. Of course, the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem and the temple was only a small part of the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. There were some other things that Israel needed to do that required more than just cutting stone and stacking stone. They had to get right with God. You see, Nehemiah was a cupbearer, but Ezra was a scribe. And it's important to understand why God chose these two men. One was a natural leader. The other one knew the law of God. And Ezra picked up the scriptures and taught people who had not even heard. There were some there after 70 years who never heard God's laws. And there were things they had to get right with God. There was a lot of people there who were living in violation of God's laws, who had to make a hard decision, and many did. And today, we too have to make some hard decisions on our own. If we are not and have not been living the way God wants us to live, we need to make a decision to change. To change. You know, we go through the Lord's Supper, we talk about the blood of Christ. It was that blood that washed away the sins of the world. And there are many out there who think that was just enough. But no, it's not just enough. Only the beginning. Because there were some things that came along with that that man must do. He must obey the gospel. To hear and believe, repent and confess, be baptized for the remission of sins. And if you have not obeyed that gospel this morning, we encourage you to do so. Help build your spiritual temple today. You will be embraced and you will be helped along the way. Us building ourselves up in a spiritual way is not a one-man operation. It is a congregation operation. It's how we work together to build and get our souls where they need to be. That blood of Christ that was shed on that cross, for those who may not have been living the way they should, and not been obeying Christ as you should, there is a continual cleansing that that blood does if you repent and ask God's forgiveness. Then you'll be forgiven of your sins. If there's anyone here who needs to answer the invitation this morning, pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.